A few years ago, while serving in a previous church, I was talking to a member who was having a particularly rough time. Concerns within family, his own concerns. He talked about his anxieties, his struggles, his worries, his loss of hope. We talked about promises of Scripture and things that God could still do. And I remember him looking at me and shaking his head and telling me very honestly, "I'm afraid to hope that much." I wonder how many of you understand what that feels like. I'm afraid to hope that much. Perhaps all, or at least most of us at some point in our lives, have or have had times where we wonder if we can hope that much. If we can, in the midst of the darkness, the struggles, the hurt, the despair, the grief and loss, continue to hope for something new that God could do. In a world where life feels fragile, where we often feel vulnerable, where conflicts and difficulties and worries seem to press in on us, sometimes it's difficult to muster much hope and to believe that things can get better. Mary and Martha were in such a time. Their brother Lazarus had grown ill. They sent word to Jesus, knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus, having a relationship with him, fully assuming that as soon as he got word that Lazarus was sick, he would come running and all would be well. As we know from the story, Jesus delayed, took his time, waited some time before heading that way, so that by the time he began to head that way, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha, I suspect, had been sitting, watching the horizon, waiting for Jesus to appear, and they kept waiting and waiting until it seemed too late. How do you imagine Mary and Martha felt at that point? Actually, we don't really have to imagine all that much because John's gospel tells us. When Jesus finally did show up, their brother dead for 4 days, after they'd called him in time for him to do a miracle, first one and then the other looked him in the eye and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had done what we wanted you to do, we wouldn't have been in this mess." We can understand the emotions. They sent a plea for help. They let Jesus know what they needed. And Jesus didn't do what they thought he should do. It seems to me that for many of us, the struggle of hope, the struggle to find hope, comes most clearly in those times when we feel like we've told God what we needed done and God didn't respond the way we thought God should. How many times have we prayed, "God, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do." And God doesn't work in the way that we expect. How many times do we struggle to believe when we tell God what's on our hearts and don't see God acting in the way we hoped God would? Martha and then Mary made it clear, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And so all the mixture of emotions they have, they're glad to see him, I'm sure, but they're frustrated, they're grieving, all of these things that are part of human experience. They go out and they share with Jesus. And Jesus comes on into the city after talking to the sisters. Ultimately, even after expressing his own grief, raises Lazarus from the tomb, brings him back to life, a miracle to top all his other miracles. But for John's gospel, miracles are always more than just the miracle that Jesus does. If you study the gospels, you realize John doesn't include as many miracles as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He includes 7 miracles that Jesus did in his ministry, and he refers to them as signs because he wants us to understand that when Jesus does a sign, it's not only a physical miracle, but it's a picture of the way God works. And this is a picture of what Jesus himself tells Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This is an awesome miracle. For Martha and Mary, for Lazarus, for friends and family, the one who's been in the tomb for 4 days is brought back to life. But this is also the 7th of the 7 signs in John's gospel, and it's an invitation to us to know, to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and in the face of a world where death seems all around us, Jesus came to give life, to give hope. Not just life eternal, but life in this world. Jesus is the one who is the resurrection and the life. Now, I am grateful for the hope of eternal life. But that's not all Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about life abundant, life transformed, life that can have joy even in the face of death and darkness and struggle in this world. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, I've quoted this passage a lot in funerals, and I've done a lot of funerals. And I've never expected the guest of honor to sit up in the middle of the funeral service. And haven't had it happen. And yet it's a powerful word because it reminds us that those who believe in Jesus and pass away have eternal life in the presence of God who loves us. But this sign is a reminder that even as we live in this world, death is never God's final word. Darkness is never the end of what God can do. There is always a hope of life, resurrected, abundant life, even in the darkness and death we see all around us. Where others see death and hopelessness, Jesus can bring new and wonderful life. Tom Long is one of my favorite preachers, a professor of preaching, and he tells of a time he went to the grocery store. Now, he says, as he tells the story, of all the things he has to do in life, going to the grocery store is one of his least favorite. He does not like going to the grocery store, but on that day he needed to. He had a list. He went to the store. He got in. He got started in the produce section. And right up front, he saw a mother and a younger elementary age son who seemed to be enjoying themselves in the grocery store, and he didn't like them already. He watched them a little bit, and they seemed to be working their way through the grocery store, making a game of it. The mom would say something, and the son would take off and run and come back with whatever she had said. Aluminum foil, soup, peanut butter, always seeming to get the right brand, the right size. And you know how grocery stores are. When you pass somebody in one aisle, there's a good chance you're going to pass them in the next aisle and in the next aisle, and you keep seeing the same folks over and over again. And so he did one aisle, and he watched as the boy ran off and came back, and there was great glee as he had found what the next item on the list was. And they passed again, and he saw it happening several times. And by about the third aisle, he stopped and looked closely, and he realized this little boy clearly had significant developmental disabilities. And Long says, I stopped and I looked. And I suspect, like so many of us, if you have that moment and you're watching, and there's a part of you that thinks, oh, what a shame. And as he was looking at this boy who clearly had challenges in this life, he realized the mother was watching him. And not knowing what to say and feeling caught in a stare, he said, I was just admiring your relationship with your son. And she grinned. And she said, oh yes, he is such a gift from God. And Long says he reflected on this. And what this had meant in this family. If you know folks with a child with very real and special needs, sometimes for the parents that feels like a loss, a death, because you discover your child may not live into the vision or the dreams you had. And undoubtedly there had been some folks that heard her child had challenges and expressed sympathy or put labels on the child. And yet instead of seeing what the child didn't do or couldn't do or wasn't, this mom found life. He's such a gift from God. In a situation that might make us look and feel sorry, she saw gift and had a relationship with her son filled with life and joy and blessing. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Where do you see, feel, struggle with darkness, death, loss, grief, pain? Where are you finding yourself stuck and wondering if you can go on? Is it in a relationship that feels broken? Is it in a job that feels like it's falling apart? Is it in school where you just feel overwhelmed and don't want to keep going on? Is it in looking for a job or some other place where the brokenness and the difficulties seem to leave you struggling to hope that there can be new and abundant life again? The world tells us that death is powerful and we can't avoid it. Several years back, there was a Brazilian funeral home that released ads on their local TV containing the motto, "Our clients never come back to complain." We don't expect life after death in this world in some ways. And yet, in the face of struggles and death, can we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Interestingly, after Martha and Mary confront Jesus and he tells Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life, and says to her, do you believe this? And she says, yes, I believe. Jesus goes into town. He comes to the tomb. He calls for the stone to be moved. He calls for Lazarus to be set free. And Martha herself is still struggling to believe that Jesus can do anything. She's professed faith. She's acknowledged her belief that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But when, in verse 39, he starts talking about getting Lazarus out, Jesus says in verse 39, take away the stone. She says, but Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. See, not quite all the way to faith yet, is she? Reminds me a little bit of that father in Mark 9 seeking healing for his son, saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Martha's trying to make sense of this. If Jesus had come earlier, we wouldn't have been in this mess. Jesus, if you had done what I asked you to do, we wouldn't be here. Oh, don't roll that stone away. That's not going to work out well. It's not going to smell good. And yet, maybe there's this glimmer of hope. Because she's seen other things that Jesus has done. How like Martha are we? How easy is it for us to fall into that pattern of thinking of what God could have done, should have done, might have done, that would have been what we needed then? How easy it is to focus on the things that didn't turn out like we thought they should, instead of waiting and living with expectation of what God can do next. And it seems in church in particular, we're really good at focusing on the negative, the struggle, the lack. So often in church we hear, if only this, or if only we had that, if only, and we get focused on what we see as weaknesses, struggles, problems, when Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And He is the one that promises that He's come to give life, and life more abundant. It's so easy to get preoccupied with what we see wrong and the darkness and the death around us instead of coming before God, daring to believe, saying, sometimes I believe, help my unbelief, and saying, God, what do you have in store? What can you do next? How do we face the darkness, the struggles? Sometimes the struggles seem even darker when God hasn't done things the way we wish they had been done. And yet Jesus invites us to believe in the one who is still the giver of life and to look with hope for the possibilities of what God can do even when life seems overwhelming. Several years ago, I read about a woman who placed a personal ad in a newspaper. And it said she was looking for more than a relationship. The ad said, I'm a 58-year-old woman with doctors tell me 1 year to live. I'd like to spend that year doing something meaningful, interesting, and fun. I like C-SPAN, Bill Moyers, Times Crosswords, Anna Quinlan, and Nevada. I don't like George Will, R.J. Reynolds, Computer Talk, or California. I have limited stamina and resources. Have you any ideas how I can spend this year making a difference? Now, I don't know about the faith of that particular woman, but that sounds like a faith attitude to me. In the midst of a darkness and a diagnosis, what can I do to make a difference? Where can God bring life? Have you known people in your life who model resurrection even in the face of what looks like death in this world, who live with hope even in situations that would challenge most of us? I think I've talked about one of those folks before, but Ruby Ray was a woman I met as a nursing home chaplain during seminary. Ruby was in her early 80s. She had a major stroke when she was 57 and had not had use of her legs since then. She had been in this particular nursing home for more than 20 years. They got her up in the morning, put her in her chair with her legs straight out in front of her, and she lived. Now, I can't imagine 20-something years in a nursing home, at late 50s, losing your use of your legs. To me, that would be all I would need to send me over the edge into the pit of despair. And Ruby was the most joy-filled person I think I've ever met. Instead of focusing on the struggles, instead of bemoaning 20 plus years in this nursing home, Ruby went room to room bringing joy, smiles, love and prayers to other residents. She was far more minister in that nursing home than I ever was. And she saw a calling to give hope and life to others. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is not a promise that everything works out the way we want it. It does not promise we won't face darkness, death, trials, suffering, difficulties. But it is a promise that in the face of whatever the world can throw at us, God's never finished. God is still at work and can bring life and hope and abundance. Where do we need to be looking and praying for hope and life and believing that God's not done no matter what our circumstances suggest? Being in relationship with Jesus means that death and grief and struggle are always met with Him at our side, with Him in our lives, giving us strength and inviting us to believe and to look for the new life He can bring. Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he looked at Martha and he said, "Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Do you believe this? Will we pray? Let us pray together. For life in the darkness and midst of death, we thank you, God. Open our eyes to see new possibilities. Give us faith and hope that we might live the abundance of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.